David will say more about this, but we are starting over the next wee while a short series in chapters Matthew 8 and 9. So as introduction to that, we're going to read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, and that's page 968 in the Pew Bibles. And we'll then move on to chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. So Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And then Matthew goes on to record the three chapters that we call the Sermon on the Mount, and we turn over to chapter 8 at the end of that. So chapter 8, verse 1. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Amen. And may God bless to us the hearing of this word and David as he preaches on it later on. So
we're starting two chapters from Matthew, Matthew 8 and Matthew 9. We're looking at these two chapters in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel has an emphasis, and we've heard it in our songs. The emphasis is on Jesus the King. Again and again, Matthew reminds us that the King of Kings has come, and he announces the coming of the kingdom of God. So I'm right when I say to the children, this is really what Scripture's about here. It's about the King coming and his invitation to be part of his kingdom. Twice in Matthew's Gospel, we're told about Jesus' ministry in a very simple way. We know about the incarnation, how he came to the world, and we know about the passion, the last days of his life. But the big chunk in the middle is his ministry. And Matthew reminds us in chapter 4, 23 and chapter 9, 35, that Jesus comes to do three things: to preach, to teach, and to heal. Easy to remember. All these chapters in the Gospel, he's preaching, or he's teaching, or he's healing. He preaches good news, and the good news is that the kingdom of God has come. That's the message he preaches. The kingdom of God has come. A promise of a transformed world that we will ultimately see in the new creation. But the kingdom has come. He teaches. He teaches about what life is to be like in that kingdom. Chapters 5 to 7, particularly what we know as the Beatitudes and the teaching that follows, the teaching up the mountain. This is the way it's going to be. This is how we're going to live in the kingdom. These are the values. These are the ways we will relate to each other. Preaching, teaching what life is like in the kingdom. And thirdly, heal. He heals. And in the most wide sense of healing, Jesus is telling us there will be transformation. All the things that are wrong, all the things that are not right, will be fixed, will be sorted, will be restored, will be renewed. It's that broad definition of healing. He comes to transform, to bring about change, and one day that new creation. And we see that in his action of healing. And in the two chapters, chapter 8 and 9, we probably can count, I think I quickly did, to at least 10, maybe more miracles that speak of this transforming work that Jesus does, that gives indication of the way in which everything is put right in God's kingdom. You know your nursery rhymes, so you know the one that I'm going to quote. I hope I can quote this one right. It's about that big round man that was an egg. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. In Matthew's gospel, there's good news for Humpty. The king has come to put him together, to fix him, to sort, to heal. That's what the chapters are about. The king has come to heal, to restore, to put together. And as I said in my prayer, we don't need to look far into the world, but we're made to look way out to the east these days to see a measure of the brokenness and the wreckage in our world, dramatically brought to us in our television. And our hearts, I mean, are touched. We don't know what to do. We know the injustice of it, the awfulness of it. And we see that wreckage. And here we handle a message. Here we handle a hope that is given to God's people. That we are dealing with a king. And as followers of this king, we are the people who seek to restore, to heal, to put together, to bring about change and transformation. This is the work of the King who we worship and whom we serve, Jesus Christ. So only four verses this morning, and these four verses at the beginning of chapter 8 are very straightforward as an introduction. We're looking at chapter 8 and 9, verses 1 to 4. Jesus has an encounter with a leper. And the leper comes to Jesus. And immediately we want to understand what a leper is like at the time of Jesus' life, the beginning of the first century. Then we can describe this leper in terms of being wrecked physically, wrecked socially, and wrecked spiritually. It's not difficult to understand that he's wrecked physically. He's got leprosy, and there ain't any cure. First century. Every day, the disease is progressing. He's moving towards death. He's being disfigured day by day. And so physically, he's wrecked. Death is on the agenda for him. Socially, he is wrecked as well. Because he's completely isolated. There is no human intimacy. The regulation at the time was that you had to keep 6 feet away from someone who had leprosy. That's just how close as he could come to anybody else. He was kept at a distance from the community, from his family, from those he loved. He was socially wrecked. And thirdly, he was spiritually wrecked. I think this was partly because the Bible often interpreted leprosy as a picture of God's curse on us, as a picture of sin, that sin is in us, working away and destroying us. And so often leprosy was used as a picture of sin, and that didn't help someone who had leprosy. And also, he couldn't come to the place where God was worshipped. He couldn't come into the presence of God, the temple itself. As Jews believe, this is where God is in the temple. He couldn't come into that context. He was at distance from God, from the living God. And therefore, spiritually wrecked as well. So this man comes to Jesus. He is wreckage. He is human wreckage. And he comes to Jesus and he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can heal me. I think this takes tremendous courage on his part, because how often had he been rejected in situations? And yet he comes to Jesus, the King of Kings, and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And so the focus turns away from the leper and is on Jesus, the King. And what we read is fascinating in these few verses. If there's three things I've said about the leper, there's three things I want to say about Jesus. Jesus, first of all, touches the leper. This is astonishing. He is the King of Kings and he touches, he contaminates himself by touching the leper. Jesus makes himself unclean by touching the leper. And immediately we begin to understand, we get a picture of who this King of Kings is. Most kings, most important people, keep themselves well away from anything unclean, anything that could contaminate them in any kind of way. Jesus touches the leper. This is the whole picture of his ministry. Jesus, the Son of God, who has come into our broken world. Jesus, who dies on the cross, and in taking our sin, becomes unclean for us by taking our sin on the cross. So we see a remarkable insight into this picture of who the King is. He touches the leper. Secondly, he speaks. He says, yes, I can make you clean. And he says the words, be clean. Again, in Scripture, wherever God, wherever the Lord, wherever Yahweh actually says it is, let there be light, there is light. Jesus, be clean, clean. We are to see in this something not just of a king, but of God himself that is Jesus. Be clean, and he is clean. His word of authority into that broken situation. And thirdly, Jesus makes sure that this man is restored where he belongs, back into community. We're not meant to live isolated lives. And so Jesus tells him to go to the priest to get the paperwork, to get the evidence, the proof he is now clean. The reason for that, so he can go back into the village, back into the community. He is no longer an outsider. He is part of family. He is part of the people. And Jesus instructs this to happen so that he no longer is alone, isolated and cut off and separated. This is the work of the King. Touching, speaking into the brokenness, and also ensuring that the person belongs within community, in relationship with other people. This is the focus on Jesus. It's a very simple story. And for us, there's a lot that follows from it, I believe. I want to suggest, first of all, for us, there's a challenge. There's a challenge that we bring our own broken situations to God, to the Lord, in prayer. That we actually do this. And I say this as Western Christians, and I am one of them. Because we so like to fix things ourselves and sort things out. But I believe we're taught, not just here, but in Scripture, again and again, to bring whatever is not right, whatever is unjust, whatever is wrong, whatever isn't the way it should be in your life or around, to God. Lord, you can, if you wish, make a difference here. It is a real call to pray. Even about the small, I don't want to bother God about small things in my life. It is not a bother to God. It is part of your relationship to actually bring the things that are not working out, that are wrong, that need fix to bring them to the Lord. I'm not saying you don't try and do something, don't try and fix them, but please bring them to the Lord. Hey, Asian Christians, African Christians know all about that. That they bring just absolutely everything to the Lord. This needs sorted, God. I bring it to you. If you wish, God, you can. Here's the situation. That which is broken, that which is not right, we must bring in prayer to the Lord. Secondly, the wreckage. Let me talk about that. We see a picture of a leper here. I want to suggest we have to have our eyes open to the wreckage around us, first of all. I once in my younger days went hill walking in Glen Affric. It's a beautiful area. And for 4 days, I never saw another person. It's another story. I nearly cracked up about that, but that's another matter. Not seeing someone for 4 days, it's very interesting. But one of the interesting parts of that journey in a very isolated part of Scotland was, I was so focused on the mountains and the journey ahead that I missed seeing all around me the wreckage of an aircraft. It had happened many, 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 many years before. It wasn't a crisis and needing reported, but it was there. It was visible everywhere. And I was nearly through the wreckage before I actually saw the twisted propeller, the engine, the seats, the tail fin. So focused was I on my journey and the surroundings and the beauty of the mountains. I nearly didn't see the wreckage. I want to suggest our eyes have to be open to see the wreckage in people's lives, to hear about it in their lives all around us. The people we live with, work with, people in our street, to become sensitive to seeing it before we respond. And secondly, it is as the ambassadors of the King. It is as the ambassadors of the King we engage with the broken situations, with the wreckage. We come in to bring hope into these situations. Maureen and I are just back from 2 weeks ago now from South India, and it's been fascinating listening to Christians there, because the outsiders in the two cities that we visited, the outsiders were children with HIV, beggars, widows, and migrant people. I've maybe missed another group. Another category. And the Roma, the gypsies. These would be some of the outsiders, the marginal people that we came into contact with in these two Indian cities. The great encouragement was there were God's people, there were Christians working with these people. The scale is huge when it comes to beggars in an Indian city. But there was Simeon, an Indian, with a vision from God to reach 200 beggars and provide for them permanent shelter. There were Christians working with these different groups amongst the wreckage. Widows who are despised in a village community, 12, 13 of them, despised, they don't count anymore. They are on the margin. There were Christians already beginning to work with that group. Listen to them, give them companionship and something to eat. The wreckage is there throughout the world, and we praise God for where God's people have heard, have seen, and have responded. And I guess, friends, this morning, the invitation is to you to see the wreckage, maybe not in India, but amongst those you live beside, to be sensitive to it, to have eyes that are compassionate, to be able to feel for what's going on in people's lives, and to know that you are the person in the name of Jesus that brings hope, the potential of restoration and a better future. This, I believe, is what the passage teaches us this morning. And thirdly, the wreckage ultimately is sin in the world. It is the work of sin. Whatever is not right in this world, it comes down to the power of evil and of sin at work. And this is where personally we stand on very firm ground. Because the shadow of the cross, even to the middle parts of the gospel, the shadow of the cross is always there, overlying all that Jesus does in his ministry. And therefore we are reminded that this Jesus, the King of Kings, went to a death on the cross. There he became unclean. He took the sin, our sin, upon himself. He speaks to those who come and are ready to listen. He speaks the powerful word of forgiveness. Be forgiven by what I have done. Let that wreckage be dealt with. And he invites all who come to him. As I said to the children, to come into his kingdom through trusting in him and knowing him. We're drawn to the cross to see the great, great ministry of Jesus and the good news that we stand firmly on as we minister to others who are broken and wrecked in this world today. Let us pray. Father, as we come to the end of our service, first of all, we thank you for the incredible privilege that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn about his ministry. We understand what his significance is to our own lives, and we praise you for that. And we thank you again that whenever we reflect on Jesus, we hear his call into the world in which we live. Give us the eyes to see the damaged places, the broken places, the places of wreckage, and the confidence to know that we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we bring hope in his name. Bless us this week because we leave this church to serve you, God. We leave it to go out into this world and to do your work in the power of the Spirit and in the truth of the Scriptures. Amen.